Amazon's decision to snub Boston for its second U.S. headquarters has reopened some old wounds. The area has a long history of missed opportunities to attract large technology companies. Robert Noyce got his Ph.D. at MIT, but then picked California to launch Intel. Bill Gates was a Harvard student when he hatched the idea that became Microsoft. He then dropped out and started the company in Albuquerque, and the list goes on. But, as WBUR's Callum Borchers reports, Boston needn't feel sorry for itself.
A more recent tech company to opt out of Boston is Facebook, which Mark Zuckerberg founded in his Harvard dorm room in 2004. It's especially painful because, years after moving the company to Silicon Valley, Zuckerberg said this.
Honestly, if I were starting now, I just would have stayed in Boston, I think. I had a conversation with Bezos about this one time.
Bezos, of course, is Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. Boston's habit of losing out on tech titans haunts industry insiders like Jeff Busgang, a general partner at Flybridge Capital.
Boston does not seem to groom scale companies. We have not scaled many companies beyond $1 billion of revenue or $10 billion of market cap.
There are exceptions, such as EMC and Akamai, and others knocking on the door. But most tech companies struggle to hit those huge numbers as standalone businesses. Just this week, Watertown software company Athena Health sold for $5.7 billion. The buyers were in New York and Silicon Valley. The deal is what venture capitalists like Busgang would call a terrific return on investment, yet it's also evidence of Boston's glass ceiling. So what's the problem?
I think it's like history.
David Cancel is a co-founder of the Boston digital marketing firm Drift. He points out that there were some really big tech companies in the area before the dot-com bubble burst. Remember Digital Equipment Corporation and CMGI?
We had just seen a whole wave of them, and then we spent the next decade under-investing in that ecosystem here. Now we're kind of trying to come back from that under-investment, right? It takes a long time to build the ecosystem again.
An Amazon headquarters might have helped the rebuilding process, but Jesse Mermel, president of the Alliance for Business Leadership in Boston, calls this a moment of reflection for Boston.
For me, the real question is, how do we invest in the businesses and the workers that have already committed to make Massachusetts home? And I feel like by doing that, then if we decide it's what we want, we can be competitive when the next Amazon, whatever it is, some company we probably haven't even heard of yet, goes forward with an HQ2 type situation in the future.
Notice the caveat, if we decide it's what we want. There's a case to be made that Boston is doing just fine, thank you very much, with a cluster of homegrown, medium-sized tech firms. Here's Chris Anderson, president of the Massachusetts High Technology Council.
To me, it's, and I think to many people, it's not a big deal. We've got tons of other innovative companies in a lot of different sectors that are really driving the Massachusetts economy.
And there could be more innovative companies on the way at the very sites pitched to Amazon. At Suffolk Downs, the centerpiece of Boston's HQ2 proposal, developer Tom O'Brien says he's confident he'll find other tenants. Same for Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone, whose city proposed a more spread out headquarters along the Orange Line.
Whether Amazon comes or not wasn't going to make us, and it's not going to break us. Just in the card of the proposal we announced, we have several million square feet of projects already on the way, or permitted, or about to get on the way.
And if that's not enough to comfort Bostonians feeling an especially sharp sting from losing to New York, there's always the sweet memory of last month's baseball playoffs.
And that's it! The Boston Red Sox win the division series 3 out of 4 against the Yankees.
Take that, New York. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Callum Borchers.